Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by sportsshoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Every Sunday we get together with a guest from the distance running world,
giving you an insight into the lives and training of some of the UK's best athletes and coaches.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and all major podcast streaming services.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast, where we post about our past and present guests, host giveaways and much more.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Hi guys, welcome back. Another week. Sorry, being a bit quiet. World Champs have been going on, but Matt and I have been very busy ourselves trying to watch it around other things that we're getting on with too. But look, last time I think I opened up and said I didn't think the hype had been there enough. But as the week's gone on, as it always does, I think it's really kind of lived up to some of the expectation with the performances. Wouldn't you say so, Matt?
Oh my God, yeah. Every session is just blowing me away. I think the crowd there actually really good. I think there's a huge, you know, support for the US. I think last night was just ridiculous. When I say last night, this morning at silly o'clock. Like obviously Sydney McLaughlin running that world record, and I got to admit, mate, the sprints, we are distance biased, but the sprints have delivered. Even I was like kind of blown away at the 200 meter final as well the other day. Sydney McLaughlin last night was just ridiculous. It's been a phenomenal champs, and I think it's got to be the quickest track ever for sprints. It just seems you always get electric times. Sydney McLaughlin, something about her and this track as well, but obviously we're going to talk about the distance events. But yeah, mate, I think it's been an incredible champs so far. And look, we've now got 2 days left tonight. Or tomorrow morning, if you like, and obviously Sunday morning as well. And it's going to wrap up what has been an incredible champs. It's just delivered. And I think it's kind of how I thought it would be, with the atmosphere and the crowd. So I'm really pleased.
Yeah, 100%. I'd agree about the sprints as well, mate. Like even myself, I've been getting into them quite a lot. Like I thought the US sweeping the 100 like on home soil and stuff like that is pretty cool to watch. And of course, like obviously the stuff you mentioned too. But look, yeah, distance-wise, we'll get into it. We're going to go up from the 800 all the way up to the marathon, chat through basically what's happened, and then for the events that aren't quite finished yet, I guess what we think is going to happen and that sort of thing. So if you're like looking around for when we're going to chat about certain events, just like skip forward a little bit, but we'll try and go from 800 up basically. But look, let's start with the women, because I think that's the one I watched most recently. I get so confused about which session.
Yeah, it was this morning, yeah.
Yeah. So watch that this morning. And yeah, obviously Keely through to the final safely. Good to see. It's a weird one because I don't think we could have expected much more from the other British girls based off how they've been running recently.
Good point.
Obviously a year ago, like we're talking three in the final, we're like, oh yeah, we could have four in the final next year type thing. It's crazy how much difference a year makes, and kind of even the fact that Reek and Alex Bell have been struggling this year to still like be competitive, I guess, and be kind of make the moves to try and put themselves in the final. And in the interviews, it's clear they, maybe not with Alex so much, but with Gemma Reeky, like watching her interviews, it's clear she thought she was like capable of making the final. And it's good that we have those expectations as a British team, I guess.
Yeah. And how about Adele Tracy, like switched to Jamaica? Didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
Beat Reeky yesterday. But now that's a whole different story. But I'm super pleased for Adele, the way she was running. Like, I got to admit, she just missed out on the final. Mm-hmm. She did the 1500 as well earlier in the week. Like, she's had a brilliant champs. She really has. And we'll probably see her at the Commonwealth Games, I guess, Jamaica and the commies. So, yeah, she's run really well. So, shout out to her, former podcast guest as well. But I think you're right. Like, the way I think Reeky, she's obviously got like that that pedigree, if you like, and that ability. So, I was kind of we might see her in the final. She looked pretty
good. Well, I thought in her heat, she looked really good. Looked I was like, oh, we're starting to see like the old Reeky.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, maybe a little bit disappointed, but yeah, I got to admit, you know, Reeky, Alex and Ellie Baker, like, yeah, maybe you didn't expect them to make the final the way they've been running this year. But I think what we're seeing from a lot of people, I'm going to reiterate this all throughout the podcast, is, you know, you've got that Olympic hangover and it's way longer than, you know, just a few months after the Olympics. And I think it affects you all winter. And I just think even subconsciously, you know, mentally, you know, I know these people have had their ups and downs through the winter, their illnesses and whatnot, especially Riki. But, you know, I do think coming off such highs or even such lows at the Olympics is hard. And, you know, I think that's why we've seen, you know, look at this 800 final. And I guess you've got Keely Mu in there, Matoigul. I mean, but I'm trying to think on the men's side, it just seems completely different this year. Like you've got a lot of people in there who we haven't seen in a global final before, really. You know, and we'll get to the 1500 as well. But yeah, so you always see a lot of change post-Olympic year. And I think you start to see people now that we're going to see for the next 2, 3, 4 years, this next cycle come into the fore. So like we've got this Kenyan lady in there, Mora. I mean, the Ethiopians, God, they look supreme. Or the, I think her name's...
Wotoje?
Wotoje, I think, is her name. Deribe Weltije. Yeah, she looks that's the one I'm thinking of. Yep. Do you know what I mean? So we're starting to see people that we're probably going to see now for the next 2 or 3 years going into Paris and whatnot. So I think it's going to be a great final. I was pleased to see Keely look a lot better in her semi. I don't want to sound negative or anything, but in the heat I was like, gosh, she didn't look good. But heat's always tricky, I gotta admit. But yeah, she just looked exhausted after as well.
Yeah, I think me and you had a chat about this like a couple of days ago when we spoke about it. And I think there is any like performance, even if it's like 3-4 seconds off your PB, is still like top class running. And I think a lot of the not looking exhausted is people like putting on game faces and stuff like that. So you never really know. And it's the same with like Athing Mo. Like she's one of the best or worst for it, if you like, because we watched her like kind of running mile races indoors and look absolutely fine, and then she would just fall off in it. And we don't really know what we'd expect of her in the mile and things like that when she did them indoors. But obviously she's looked cool as a cucumber through the rounds. But I feel like with her, her kind of poker face is so good as well. So it's going to be a fantastic race. Like, can't wait to see it.
I think it's going to go. Who do you think? I mean, I think it's on the final day, so it's not till Sunday now. They've got a day off. I think it's going to get out ridiculously quick. I mean, Mu likes to get out quick, but this Kenyan Mora looks like she wants to get out fast.
I'm that with Telje as well.
She's happy to get out fast. Yeah. You know what I mean? Natoya Gul she ran pretty much perfect race yesterday, sat in, but she likes to get out fast. I think this thing's going to go out electric.
And I think like people like Natoya Gul, you mentioned, she's someone who has been on the circuit for a while, but hasn't run that well at majors. But like when you're looking at like PBs and stuff, like 156 is no hanging around. Like, and I think they are going to have to run close to like what they did last year in the Olympics in terms of getting into those like 155s.
I'd be surprised if this race doesn't go out sub 57.
Yeah. And I guess if you're in that race and you are one of those girls, like the ones we've talking about, the top ones, that's probably the race you want, because there's not so much messing around and like that. And that's why we've always talked about the semis always being harder than the final, in that you don't really know what's going to happen. It's a bit cagey and like you can make mistakes. You get one push and your whole race is done for. Yeah. But when it does go off like it does on the Diamond League circuit, these girls know, well, if I've trained to be in like the best supreme shape, like I'm sure Hodgkinson's thinking I'm in 155 shape, if not quicker. Then if it's a 155 race, that's all I can really do. But as soon as you start throwing in like a 59, 60 first lap and, or maybe like you run like a 27, then you slow and that sort of thing, it's when other people come into the fray. And
it's probably the only thing. Maybe, I mean, Hodgkinson ran a perfect race in Tokyo, right? I remember Jenny Meadows saying on commentary a few weeks back in the Diamond League that Hodgkinson had never gone through quicker than 58, and I was thinking, what? Surely that can't be true. So I went and like fact checked her, and of course Jenny was right. She is in Keely's camp, but like maybe that is her only weakness. If she does go through a tad quicker, you know, if she goes through in 56, how's she going to respond? And, you know, her heat did go through in 57 low or 57 mids. And yeah, I just didn't think she looked great. She looked pretty knackered after and stuff. And it was only a 2-minute race at the end of the day. That's why I was really like, oh. So maybe, you know, if Keely does have a weakness, I mean, it is maybe going through a bit quick. And I do think she's going to have to pay closer attention.
Yeah. So if you're her, do you think obviously, like last year worked kind of sitting off it a bit and coming through, like whereas like Ricky was there, if I remember correctly, like pretty much the whole way. And obviously, unfortunately, just missed out and got fourth. But now that she's a silver medalist in the Olympics, you can't afford to run that race plan anymore. If you're going to race for the win, like she's not racing for a medal. There's no way.
Oh yeah, right. This is what I'm saying.
Like so, last year, like that's okay. Like you can,
You can sit back in eighth. You can sit back in eighth, pick the back markers off, come through for third or second. Yeah, but yeah, when you're really competing for that win, you probably do have to just be slightly closer up, which means you can't come from as far back. Which means your first lap might be a little bit quicker.
It gets dictated more by other people. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very interesting race. That's my prediction. It's going to go, 56 on that first lap. So it's going to be quick. And I think it's going to be a lot of carnage. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be a lot of them stringing out. But the Kenyan looks like she's got some ridiculous fight in her. She looks almost down and out every time. She comes down the home straight. Big question marks over her tactics. So goodness me, she's up and down like a yo-yo. But the Ethiopian looks pretty supreme. Mu obviously beat her yesterday in the semi just. How easy was she? It's going to be exciting. Yeah.
So that Mora from Kenya, I don't know if I'm... what, she's come from a different event, am I right in saying? I'm not quite clued up on her.
I think I heard them saying
commentary anyway, that she was like running a different event, and so she's not done that many 800s and stuff. So like, yeah, definitely one to watch out for.
Looks like she could easily be a forerunner the way she gets out.
Yeah. And it's almost that kind of second, third, fourth win she's got on the last 100 that she has another kick every time when you think, yeah, like you say. When you think she's down and out. But look, over to the men's, that one's going to be a fascinating race, and I'm sure the men's will be as well. Unfortunately, no Brits in this final. I think last time we spoke on the pod, we were like bigging up Max Bergin. And I don't want to put a negative on this, right? But No, I don't think it is. And I do want to word this correctly because I'm not trying to be disrespectful or
it's a shame,
but is there a point where people need to, it's like you, it's not unlucky.
I saw his post and because initially when it happened I was like, Christ man, like has he kind of overtrained again and got injured, but this sounded like a freak injury for him. Something flared, like a vein flared up in his calf. That does sound pretty freaky. So he's going to get that sorted. And I think it's going to be a quick turnaround anyway. So I think we're going to see him at commies
Europe. I'm not saying it in the case of like whether it's overtraining, like being like whoever's setting the training is doing it badly. I'm saying, is there like more support we can give athletes like this from British Athletics? Is that where they need to
take? I don't know, man. Like the guy knows what he's doing. He runs 1:43. I mean, front runs everything he does. He's an incredible athlete. Like, he knows what he's doing. And I think, you know, he's going to have the most support probably out of, you know, on the team. So I don't think it's anything about that. I think it is just bad timing, but it does get to a point where, like, you know, this sort of thing is going to start playing on his mind. Like, every time a major champs comes around, it's almost a bigger deal than it needs to be because he has never lined up for one.
Yeah.
You know? And this same pattern now has happened 3 or 4 years in a row. And I think that's a shame because I think, you know, reputation is almost there now.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not disputing it's not about how to get in shape.
It's almost a running theme.
Mm.
You know?
And I just want to see the guy compete.
I think you will. I think we'll see him in Euros. And in many ways, you know, being so young and that being his first champs, maybe that will be easier for him to kind of, you know, compete at. And I don't know, just kind of get over that hurdle of lining up at a major champs, going through the rounds. Obviously, he's done it as a junior. So that might be easier for him. And obviously there's a Worlds next year and Olympics in Paris. So there's a big future for this guy. But sometimes with 800 meter running, it is a lot more talent orientated. And yes, you can do all the training in the world to make you a very good athlete. But look, when you're hot, you're hot. You know, and I think it's like sprints as well. You know, and sometimes it just hits you and you're almost unbeatable for a period of your life in 800s. And I think as your career progresses, that is what makes a very, very good champion, almost the way that they can maintain that form. But a lot of people, like, you know how it is, you know, the speed just comes naturally. You haven't really got to work on that too much, you know. and you just feel good every time you step on a track. And I think that it's quite common in 800 running that you have these kind of sweet spot for a few years. And I'm just concerned if he does miss that, you know, and someone else comes along.
That's what I mean. I don't know why. Like, it almost reminds me of like someone like an Alan Webb. Like, I almost see him. I can see him running like records and things, like British record maybe, and that sort of thing, and just not. Yeah, like he's qualified, but yeah, I don't know. It's just a shame, basically.
I think fingers crossed we see him in commies and Euros. But yeah, obviously. We've got to talk about him, but talk about Langford. He was extremely unlucky. I actually thought he made a very good run of it at this champs.
Yeah. And talking about earlier, like what I was saying about the just getting one knock, like down the back straight on the second lap, he like moved out.
Yeah.
And that's come. And I think if he hadn't wasted that energy there, it'd have made it because he was flying in the home straight. Is that unfortunate? But look, with their hard champs, and I'd say is good. We're still seeing him get back towards his best. So I think he's got to look at that as a success in a way, how he performed at these championships.
Easily. And I think for him going into that final, for him going into the Euros and the commies, it's going to be a really big thing as well, because they are competitions which you know he's going to, you know, contend for. So I think, and look, the standard was, it's a weird standard, the men's one. I think it's just so tight, as it always is, these 800s. I actually called it, I think I said to you the other day, I said, I think Bowl's going to win. I think he's going to win the overall thing. I know he's only the fastest loser getting through. Don't know why I think that, but to be honest, watching them semi-finals, I mean, look, we don't want to throw shade. Where the hell have these Algerians come from? their names aren't even, I'm having to look at the results to remind me of their names. I've never seen them in my life before, but honest to God, they both look supreme.
Mm.
Both get their tactics spot on. They both come cruising down the home straight. I literally said in the semi, I was working on the feed, and I said to the guy next to me, he's a bit techie, he hasn't got a background in running. I said, watch the guy in the green vest, watch him just come around out of nowhere. And he did exactly that.
Maybe McLoofy's been there helping him out.
I think McLoofy's been helping him out. Yeah, I think they've been inspired by McLoofy.
Yeah, and who wouldn't be, man? He's
we're 10 years
phenomenal on. Athlete, Taufik. So
10 years on from 2012. So yeah, that's the Olympic legacy.
Inspire the next generation.
But those guys, I think one of those guys is actually going to win. Maybe this Moolah.
I think Arab look really good.
Yeah, and the Kenyans as well. I mean, Career and Wanyuomi. Kenya Mao as well. So Kenya are going to have three in the final, two Algerians, French, Gabriel Tuel, Olympic finalist last year, Peter Bowl, and Marco Ayrault.
Yeah, and I just want to, I guess, we've spoken a lot like in the past, this is a bit of a side note here, we've spoken a lot in the past about kind of how we get more interest in athletics. And I'm looking ahead at this 800 final, this is one of them times where I really sympathise with the armchair fan more, or even like us as fans, because I look at that race and I think, yeah, it'll be a good like technical 800 to watch. But out of the list of guys running, I don't really have a major like knowledge of like their background or anything like that, and their stories. And that's why I don't think that this final for me, I'm as excited as other ones.
Cheer for Peter Bowl, mate. I'm telling you.
No, I'm saying, yeah, that's what I mean. But you can pick one, whereas there's some finals you look at and you've got loads of like interest. You've watched loads of training workouts with them, like you follow their careers and things like that. And it is difficult when you don't really, like all they are to me, like most of these, like obviously seen them race on the Diamond League circuit, but like they're just names from like rankings lists and things like that over the years. Like it's not.
Yeah, I think as well with being sort of no dominant figure in the 800, you there's not like, I want to watch this, but like, you know, on the women's side, I want to watch Mu, I want to watch Keely.
Yeah.
There's no big leader at the moment in this 800, but I think, Career being a defending champion, he's got a good story. I just want to touch upon qualifying. The fastest loser spot was 145.58. How many guys in those semis can run 145.58? It's just about doing a day. Langford ran that in his heat. You know, we know Rowden could do it. Do you know what I mean? I think had they have just got the positioning right. It just shows you how key that positioning is. You know, I think we're being really critical of both Langford and Rowden, they've just looked a little bit too far back. You know, when you need to come top two in a semi, I'm not sure you can afford to really sit in eighth place, you know, at the bell, unless it's really quick.
Yeah. It's tough, isn't it? And the women's were similar in that, like, 2 minutes got through, I think.
Exactly.
159 high.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just like, you've just got to pay so much attention to... And don't get me wrong, you can't go out stupid and blitz out just to sit in sort of third or fourth place. But
no.
You just got to be there at the right times, because overtaking people. I think Jakob actually said it in his post-race interview. Overtaking someone at the pace you're moving at in these races is a very, very hard thing to do, especially in the latter stages of a race. Like you said, I guess there's just no favorite in this 800 final. I'm going to just call it now, and I'm going to put the favorite as this Mula guy from Algeria. He ran 145.89 in his semi. I think one of these boys is going to win. They might even go 1-2. Kenyans are going to give it a good go, though. Like you say, A-Rock, Peter Bowen there. It's going to be very tight, whatever it is. It's going to be an interesting final.
Yeah, for sure. On to the 1500s then. Obviously, some great British success. Feels like a world away now, ages ago. But obviously, yeah, Laura Muir got the bronze and Jake Wyman with the win. Like, did we half predicted that, I guess?
I guess Laura Muir was much easier than Wyman. I mean,
we said last week, or you said you thought Jakob would get beat. And I believe I said both Kerr and Wyman have a chance.
Look, if Josh Norman, if you're listening, mate, he actually messaged me before the final and said, I think Wyman's going to win this one. I said, interesting. I said, maybe, you know, if it's, I said, I can see him winning it if it's a 3:32 race. 3:33 race. But look, when the race went off, man, the first 100 meters, I think they did a close up. You know, when the camera just zooms in on the faces, and Wyman looked absolutely tapped. He looked wired. He looked ready to go. Every lap they came around, I think it's at the 200 meter mark. Camera would like pan on their faces. They'd give a close up. Every lap he came around, he was in his supreme position every time. And he just looked on it. And with 600 to go, funny enough, Jakob in his post-race interview said he was fighting with the Kenyans to get to the front too much. And he said, I don't know why the Kenyans did that. And classic Jakob said, I don't know why the Kenyans did that, because it ruined their race. Look where they ended up. But it also, he claims it kind of ruined his as well. And when you watch it back a couple of times, you do see it's a very fast race. And Jakob does actually fight to the front a little bit. Finally gets to the front at about 700, about 800 into the race, 700 into the race, sorry, 800 to go. He doesn't really do anything at the front. I mean, he keeps a healthy pace going. But I think he said in his interview, he thought it was quicker, the pace he was doing on that third lap. And obviously, you know, when this has happened, I'm looking at Whiteman with 600 to go thinking, you're in a prime position right now, man. And Jakob just didn't seem his normal self. This is what we're saying about Olympic hangover. I remember he obviously made it known that he was very much, he said it's going to be the hardest year of his life, picking himself up after the Olympics. Like, that's all he's ever trained for, you know. But look, I would rather be, this may be a bold statement, but I'd rather be Whiteman and winning world championships in that stadium, in that atmosphere, than win the Olympics last year in Tokyo.
Easily. I don't know, maybe now in terms of like in the moment, but I think looking back on that record list, Jakob's always going to have that.
I just feel like in athletics, I mean, to the rest of the world, the Olympics is a big deal, but in athletics, I almost feel like the world champs is huge. Almost, you know.
Oh, they are pretty much on a par, but yeah, like you say, it's the...
You've seen better. I don't know. And that performance of Wyman, like, that's such a buzz. Ridiculous. God, I don't know how he's going to pick himself up in difficult North games. If that was me, I'd call it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, phenomenal run from Whiteman. Like, the guy stayed on the curb pretty much the whole race, and like kept himself in like third or fourth the whole way. And I almost thought that was what he tried to do last year. And I think that ruined him almost in the Olympics last year. He tried to get too far up the whole way, and I thought watching this, I was like, Okay, fair enough. Like, he's gone for it again, and fair play to him. Obviously, it's worked out. And when he made that first move with like 300 to go, and I think he was almost, it looked like he was surprised that Jakob didn't like respond better. He didn't actually come past him, like he came like, onto him.
Mm.
And I mean, it surprised him how like easily he'd got onto Jakob's shoulder, because he then sort of, they were like, he was looking, and then he was like, oh, I'm just going to go again. And he did. And I don't think Jakob thought that he'd almost have, that one would almost have the balls to come around him that early on. But obviously, like, it's paid off massively for him. And
like, how many times? This is, you know, when I was watching Diamond Leagues this year, I even thought Ollie Hall could have challenged Jakob a little bit more than he was. And I think there's been about a 2 or 3 year window now where athletes have, Jakob hasn't really been challenged in that last sort of 200 meters or so. And that's partly because the pace has been so hot. I think it's partly, you know, he's just got this aura, hasn't he? Or had to, you know, and Whiteman blew that out the window. And I think Whiteman was not scared of Jakob. He was not scared to attack him. I think Jakob through the rounds did look a little bit vulnerable as well. And Jakob admitted in his interview, he said he was very disappointed in himself because he didn't fight harder at 200 to go to keep that inside. I think had he had done, we might have seen a different story. I actually still think Wyman would have won, actually, because I just think he had more on the day than Jakob. But yeah, it looked easy for Wyman to get to the front. He necessarily, I've seen him fight harder in British champs to get to the front of a field. You know, was it last year?
I think that's what Josh Kerr said in one of the interviews, chatting about, this is after his semi, chatting about the shape you have to get in for British champs, though. Is British champs is such an 800 meter race that it almost is harder to get to the front with 300 to go because of the speed they're going at that point.
I mean, they're going to similar speed. Maybe not like a 52, 53 last lap, but similar. They're going sort of 55 last lap, weren't they? But he just looked, for me, I just think he was the hungriest out of all of them. I really do. I think on that start line, they all want to win. He just looked really fired up. He looked so focused during the race. He didn't put a foot wrong. He really didn't. You know, and I think when push comes to shove and it came to that real crunch point, like I said, Jakob was disappointed. I think that's what he was most disappointed about, the fact that he maybe didn't fight as hard as he would have wanted. And even when you look at the last 10 meters in that race,
he starts looking around.
Yeah, he actually gives up. Yeah, he looks around. He actually, you know, and I was like, what? You know, if that's your first...
Jakob doesn't like fighting in the last 100. He likes making sure no one comes past. He doesn't like having to close on
people. See, last year, Chariot was the one who went to the front on the third lap and made the third lap ridiculous. Like, Chariot did something similar. And I was like, Chariot, why are you going to the front? Jakob's leading. Why not just sit and wait in the Olympics? So Chariot decided to go to the front on lap three and just really make it hard. Like, that was a ridiculous third lap. Jakob did it this year. Didn't pick it up necessarily. Whiteman comes away, but man, you know, it's kind of mad because for me and you as well, like I said to a few people after, I was like, do you know what's crazy? The fact that, I guess this is going to sound terrible, but there's really no questions over Whiteman. Like, you know, like he's just an ordinary guy. Like he's come from our background. We've grown up with him. Everyone knows him. Probably everyone has chatted to Whiteman in their lifetime, which is kind of crazy because, yeah, like you say, cliche, he is Mr. Nice Guy, but like, there's no question marks over who he is. Like, I feel like sometimes when someone from another country wins something, you're like, oh God, they do some crazy training over there. Like, it'd take Jakob, all this lactate training, blah, 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 blah. There's so many different ways to do it. Whiteman's proved that. And we have to stick with what we do here in the UK because it works. And, you know, he's someone who's come through our environment, everything he's come through, our setup. And I think that's actually the most encouraging thing for a lot of people.
And like he's not even gone to like the US for uni or anything, like went to Loughborough. I remember the guy was running British uni champs when we were in first year uni.
He was turning up a box and he was ripping three rounds at 800. Do you know what I mean? And it's I think it's super encouraging because there is nothing, he's an incredible athlete, but if you like, there is nothing sort of out of the ordinary that he does or that. He hasn't got anything special about him. You know what I mean? He's just like us, two arms, two legs. Yeah. And I think sometimes when we see these Kenyans and stuff, I think especially for a long time, you know, a lot of people had that kind of like, oh, you know, they've got it all. They've got the altitude, you know, they've got the naturally lean physiques and this and that. But Wyman's proved, you know, and I think that's just what we needed. You know, and I think we've got so many guys in the pipeline now who are knocking on the door to make teams that we could take to this thing, you know, so.
Yeah. And obviously on the women's side, Laura Muir, there you go, another medal. Like, she's just sort of, I feel like she's just going to start racking them up now.
Oh, she will, for sure. Like,
over the rest of her career. And I hope she gets a chance to kind of, to win one of the big ones. And it's weird because it's almost like last year, I think I said it last week on a podcast, seemed like such a relief for her. Even though there was probably years gone by when you thought she's probably in better shape. But like you said earlier, having that consistency and being able to just have patches in championships where you're running well is what makes like really, really top athletes, rather than just being in necessarily really good shape to run a good time and like make teams and make finals. It's showing up and meddling every kind of Worlds and Olympics.
Yeah. I think Paula said it, in Paula or Cammy or whatever, in comms as well, when, you know, Laura's got the confidence and the ability to go with that ridiculous pace now and actually hang on, you know, and she did that. And I was like, goodness me. If you're watching the feed, it wasn't a 55 first lap. I think it was 58. But when I saw 55, I was like, what on earth? But yeah. No, 58 first lap, and that is literally bonkers, you know. And I think when you actually look at it, like, you could be super critical right now, and you think if you're gonna run 3:55 like Laura did, doing it in a 58 first lap is probably the worst way to do it. So how much more is there, you know, talking about British records, could Laura run 3:53, you know, 3:54, 3:53, you know, because a perfect race would be a kind of 61 first lap, not 58.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think she's got a lot more there in the tank, but I think it's going to be super hard for her because every time she's in a race, she's going to have these ladies wanting to go out in 59, 60.
Yeah. And it's a tough one because you also don't know exactly what shape like you get into, I guess. Because I guess for the most part, up until, I don't know, 6 weeks out, it is just about being in like, yeah, what you call PB shape. But I wonder what sessions like people like her are doing in the last kind of 4 weeks.
Oh, she'll have loads, man. She'll just open the diary book up.
That's what I mean. And how geared towards like the different type of race that might unfold at the champs they are, is what I'd be interested to see, or whether it is just a case of, and I'm sure that's where like someone like Jakob, like with all the training he does, is well documented. Like, it's all very well being in like supreme physical shape. And if they probably stuck them all on treadmills and decided the world champs that way, he'd have won, no doubt. But
I just think, yeah.
But Wyman had the instinct, and that's something that he, like, people can say it's just you're born with an instinct, but that's something the guy's crafted over years of racing and training. So he's learned that. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not just, you can't just say, some people can do it, some people don't. I think like he's learned that, and whether that's been like directly, he's understood how he's learning or not is a different story, but he's definitely like learned that through experience and through like the training sessions that he does.
Yeah. And I think going back to that, man, I actually think, you know, Jakob's greatest strength at one point was the fact that he could just win any race from the front and run away with it, because he was happy to front run. He trains that way. He does this, he does that. But I actually can see that being his fall down. You know, it was his fall down at this World Champs. And I think for some reason he felt the need. I think being Olympic champion, being who he is, he felt the need to go to the front in that race. For me,
I think he feels like he has to win it in like a dominant fashion.
Yeah, he didn't need to go to the front in that race for me. Chariot and Kipsang were doing a great job at pace making it for him. He could have just sat there, relaxed and composed, and see what he could do over the last 200. But yeah, some reason he felt the need to go to the front, and that was his greatest weakness, and running from the front. Because the thing is, everyone is getting better now. Like you said, Whiteman went away and he decided he needed more strength, and he was going to train to do a 329 in the final, 328 or whatever in the final. And that's what he did. So I don't care how good Jakob is, the guy cannot run a 327, 326 after three rounds.
Yeah. And I think I just don't think,
you know, he's not going to front run El Guerrouj's world record, is he? Like, that would be ridiculous.
I saw good stat thing on Twitter. I don't know how much truth it is to, again, whether it's that sciencey or not, but someone was chatting about the difference in drafting in an open stadium, which is what Hayward is, like most of the tracks that us guys run on, compared to like your Olympic stadiums and things like that, where actually sitting in behind, you're getting like the psychological advantage of sitting in the pack, but you're not actually getting a physical like drafting advantage really in a closed arena. But Hayward's obviously not a full surround stadium. And there is a significant kind of wind drafting element to that as well, like, as I'm sure most people who run an SAL will know all about. And that sort of thing. And that comes into play. Like when you're front running in a massive stadium, it doesn't really make, it's a bit like front running indoors. It's doesn't make as much of a
I guess
adopting those tactics in a stadium where you are actually physically getting drafted on.
Yeah, I don't know what the wind was saying, but yeah, I mean, it does. The flag's always blowing, to be fair. So it's like always a little, there's probably a little bit of breeze kicking about. But yeah, no, I do kind of agree with that. And, you know, I just think, you know, if he's going to be dominant over years to come, he's going to need to learn to win races in any which way. We talk about El Garouge, man, you know, like he's going to have to really, you know, bring more to his game than what he does now.
Yeah. What did I ask for last week on the pod? As a fan, I asked for Jakob to get beat and then come back and win the 5K. And I'm not sure it's gonna happen, but stranger things have happened this week.
God, that would be incredible, wouldn't it?
I'd love to see it, basically. I'm so happy he's now competing in another event.
I didn't know if he's gonna line up. Mate, have we done the women's 15? God, we just got drawn back to that men's 1500. I mean, I've watched it about 10 times over, to be fair.
But yeah, I think we chat about Laura, obviously, like Faith Diego, yeah. Like, incredible run. But yeah,
that's all we can say. Incredible. It was just kind of one of these races you just jaw dropping. You see the first lap, you're like, oh my God. And they're all just gritting their teeth, hanging off.
And actually, before we move on, though, I do want to say, I feel like we almost overlook Kip Yeagan as like, how good she is sometimes. And we're just so used to her like doing well and winning. If you like look at her career on paper, it's unbelievable.
She's ridiculous. She's absolutely ridiculous.
It's just freak. Crazy, crazy good. So that's all to say on that. But yeah, we'll go to the 5Ks then, as I mentioned them, and then we'll loop back to the steeples.
Oh God, yeah.
But yeah, like the 5K is one event we have left as well, like a bit like the 800 week. We've still got to enjoy that, the women's and the men's finals. Yeah, it could be really, really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I thought the 5K was tonight, but it's the women's 5K. So let's quickly talk about that. Who do you think's going to win in this one, mate? Who do you think? We've got Segai in there. Obviously, she did the 1500. Hassan. One of those.
Talking about Hassan, like obviously, and we will chat over the 10Ks a bit. I know that feels like weeks ago as well. But obviously, she ran in the 10. We didn't really know how she was going to be in those. And then getting to like, she kind of looked just like usual Hassan self, just like chilling around. And then when it came to it, like her kick was good, but she just narrowly missed out. And she's someone that I don't think there's any way she's going to a champs and not coming away with some hardware.
So I'd
expect to see her feature in this five for sure. But the kind of talent in some of those races, I mean, we saw it in the 10, like the times they ran, and also the closing speed of that women's 10K was unbelievable. And the ones who are doubling up, like how much does that take out of them as well?
Yeah, I know you got like Gedai in there as well. Obviously, she's coming off that 10K. Yeah, her and Hassan coming off that 10K win. I don't know. These ladies are so well trained. It just always surprises me how they can just handle it. I just think most people, if you do a 10K, like, how do you come back and do a 5K like 3 or 4 days later? And then how do you do another one 2 days after that? Like,
well, I mean, it's the fact they used to do them in old spikes as well.
Oh my God. Yeah, imagine.
Like people like wearing victories, like OG Vicks. For a 10K and then a 5K round and a 5Ks.
They're just so well conditioned though, aren't they, really? But yeah, I think I just wonder how quick this 10K is going to be. Will it be electric? The heats were pretty quick. The heats are sub 15 minutes. They weren't hanging about too much there. It's wise. Jess Judd ran, I think she was a tiny bit outside her best, a couple of seconds outside her best. Yeah, she's having a phenomenal champs. Like we're talking about Jess, she is having a phenomenal champs. Brilliant run in the 10. Phenomenal run in the 10. She's now in the 5 final as well. She's really, just having a bloody good world championships, I've got to admit, you know, in Jess Judd fashion. Ailish McColgan, a little disappointed. We're obviously going to move on and talk about the 10 in a bit, but, you know, 5K kind of made it through as the fastest loser. I think that was probably unintentional. You know, Ailish, she always liked to be at the front, so she looked like she was struggling a little bit. I'm not sure what's going on, but, you know.
Yeah, as she mentioned in her interview after the 10, that she just hasn't raced enough on the track.
What?
She's just doing loads of road races. And well, that was her first 10 that she finished, I think she said.
Nah, she did. She ran in Hengelo, remember? And she ran 30. That's where
she Oh, yeah, you know. Or she said that was kind of all but one, if you like.
Well, yeah, get on there.
Yeah, and I think we've almost seen that as like a bit of a trend, like these road races like popping up. Obviously, there's good prize money for a lot of these things, and she's running like super quick times. But if you're not ready for like the change of pace on the track, it is completely different to the road scene.
Yeah, man, it's completely different, and that's something, you know, Jess Judd, like obviously there was Highgate. She could have run Highgate. That was, you know, phenomenal race. That was a pretty quick race. To be honest, turns out actually she was about a minute quicker. Her PB was about a minute quicker than what Highgate was wanting. But do you know what I mean? There's opportunities for her to get a good 10 in, a good 5 in as well. So yeah, that's kind of a stupid thing to say when you get to a major champs, haven't done enough track races.
Yeah.
It's okay when you're like injured or whatever, but when you've been steaming fit, ripping up records on them, like, come on, like, what are you prepping for? What's your goal?
Well, that's it. And maybe it's that. I mean, she's announced a London Marathon already, like pre-champs. Like, is that a distraction?
Yeah, I just feel it's a shame because I feel like coming into this year, like given her 10K and her, you know, her ability, you know, 3K, 5K, she can really contend. Like, we're looking at Schweitzer and Elise Cranny and stuff, these Americans. Like, she's better than them. She's quicker than them, you know? Will she beat them tonight? I don't think so. They're really kind of track orientated. Do you know what I mean? You know,
Carissa Schweitzer ran incredible the other day in the 10.
Yeah. But, you know, Ailish is, I think Schweitzer actually just nipped Ailish's PB, but going into it, you know, Ailish is better, you know? Yeah. So she front ran that in a rainy Hengelo. But yeah, this women's 10K, this women's 5K, sorry, I think it will be quick. I don't think they hang about too much.
No.
Women's race never seems to be that tactical, to be honest with you. They always seem to be pretty quick. Pretty fearless are the women. The men can be a bit cagey. We look at previous years, and we've had some lightning races. We really have. So expect this race. I reckon it's going to be one around 14:30.
Yeah. I think, like you say, I think it is going to be quick. And I think the track's quick. And there's just so many athletes who I think don't care about just making it hard, and I think that the same will be of the men's. Like, they might mess around for a little bit, but there's always a point where they start moving.
Yeah.
There's too much depth almost now in these events to let it go slow. And I think we saw that with Grant Fisher in his heat in the 5. Obviously, he had a great run, finishing 4th in the 10. And looked like they were really jogging in his first kind of heat of the 5K. And obviously, he'd have been a bit tired as well, I'm sure, from the 10. And he just thought, I'll just run at the front for a bit and get the pace moving. And automatically, you get rid of a few pretenders, if you like. and ensure that you don't have to do so much work. And obviously, that's the heat, and it's a slightly different story. But I think the final's the same. Like, the more people you have, the more issues you have with kicking as well. It's not even necessarily about whether you or not you can outkick everyone there, but when there's 12 of you compared to 6 of you, the traffic is ridiculous. And in that men's 10, there was so much traffic for a lot of the race that it kind of got a bit mental. And we had people running in lane 1 and like 1 to 3, like when they were kicking and things like that. So, but yeah, both those men's and women's 5Ks, like, I'm really looking forward to. And for me, they're always my favorite event to watch at the champs, because I think there's enough time to for there to be some real tactics to play in a 5K. 13, 14 minutes, like men's and women's. But it's not so kind of so long like the 10, where they do just like sometimes just muck around a little bit.
Laps off a bit. I think if I'm going to predict a winner, I'm going to say Gidai is going to double up. do it again in the five. She looks supreme. And I think a surprise name for me that I think might have a pretty good run is Grovdale. I think she's going to be have a pretty good run. She's can, you know, get up there and compete a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and she's someone who's been running well since, like, she won Eurocross in
really well, mate,
in December. And she's almost having like a quiet season, in a way. Like, don't talk about her too much, but like going away and just doing bits, basically.
Yep, exactly. So that's the women's. British note, it'd be awesome to see, you know, Jess Jardalish kind of get in that top eight, maybe. But yeah, so.
And I think the sort of pace it is for like Jess, that could be another PB, like, sort of thing. Because they'll go off at a pace that's probably not loads quicker than a PB, and then they'll start to pick up to close. So it could be perfect for her.
Absolutely right. Cool. Probably the main event, the men's five. It'll be going down Sunday morning. Should we have a little quick look at the time? It's probably worth waking up for, really. Day 10 of the champs, the men's 5K, 2:05 in the morning. It's not that bad at all, really. 2:05. You can stay up till that time.
Yeah, stay up for a few drinks and then.
Be worth it. And then 30 minutes later, the women's.
Make you home by two and then.
Yeah. How are they going to let the women's 100 hurdles close off the champs? Well, technically not, because the relays, but still. Anyway, yeah, so.
I guess for the US, that's a big event, though.
Yeah, it is really. Yeah, to be fair.
For them, it's that's probably one that they'd always. If they'd known the men's 100 was going to go so well, I think they'd have saved it. But,
I think in the women's. Yeah, in the women's 100 hurdles thing, I was having this chat with my brother a little while back. Apparently, about, I think, 20 of them had.
Oh, crazy.
That was it. In the semifinals of the US champs, everyone had the world standard. Yeah. So three, so what's that? I think 24. Every single one of them had the world standard, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. But yeah, look, let's have a look at this men's five then. Who do you think is going to win? I was pleased to see Edris made it through as a fastest loser. I would love Edris to come back and shuffle around for his third global gold. Yeah. I'll cause a right upset. But look, God, I don't know, actually. No one actually looked. I think the favourite has to be Cheptegei, like heavy favourite has to be Cheptegei. Bar him, no one kind of really stood out for me.
I thought Jakob looked pretty tired, but I think, like, I hope he does well, to be honest. I'm hoping he's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder now.
Look, one thing Jakob's got, you know, the way he races is so even, and I think... Mm-hmm. That's probably, you know, these days, that's probably better suited to a five.
Well, I think about that five we saw last year
in Rome. Yeah.
One of the best races I've ever seen. And he beat so many big names that day. And
these boys muck about with it, even though they're, you know, and it's a championship, so they muck about with it even more. You know what I mean? There'll be a quick lap here, quick lap there.
And that's why it's so exciting. And
the lead always changes. I don't know why it is, but, you know, someone like Barrega just sometimes just whips to the front, does nothing, gets overtaken. Two laps down the line, he decides, oh, I want to sprint to the front again. Mm. Yeah, these boys do just play around with it.
And, but then they are trying to hurt other people as well, and they're just backing that they themselves can hack it.
I think there's a bit of that. I think they just get a bit bored, to be honest.
That's what you do, Matt. You just keep to the front because you can't concentrate for 12 minutes.
Yeah, I just stare at the lap counter and, I just wonder if I'd go on the track, to be honest. But yeah.
Obviously, yeah, Kajelsch is in there. He's someone I've loved watching, like, over the years, and probably not really achieved some of what he thought maybe he could have achieved. But, like, he was comfortably through. Like, Mohamed's in there. Grant Fisher's off the back of that 10K.
Actually, I'm looking at Jacob Krop and Kameli as well. These boys ran an incredible race in Rome again this year, 12:45 or 12:43. I think these two might take it out. I think that's actually their best bet to take it out. If you run this race sub 13 minutes from the off, I think they have a much, you know, coming into this race off the back of a heat. I think when I looked at someone like Mohamed, he actually dropped off in his heat. Doesn't look, you know, I know he qualified. And I know, like, you could argue maybe he was looking at the clock. He knew he was safe. I don't buy that. I just think, you know, five to qualify. If you were feeling cruisy, you would just come fifth, fourth. You know what I mean? You'd make sure you get an auto queue. And I think he did actually come fifth in the end. But he actually, you know, he fell off a bit. I don't think he's in, you know, his best shape. And if this race is run sub 30 minutes, you're only going to have 3-4 guys in it.
Yeah.
It has got to be the best way these Canes do it. They virtually front ran in Rome and they ran 12:45 in the Diamond League. But if I was them, I would love to see this race go sub 13. And I think you're quickly going to get people dropping off, you know, and then it's even big boys as well.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's good. And it's interesting watching the heats because like the qualification for it's like pretty crazy as everyone knows. With five through and then five basically from a second heat every time. Do you look good? Abdi Nuor look good, the NAU.
He did look good, yeah. He did look, but look, the thing is, man, they run 13:20 odd.
That's it. Yeah.
Everyone there at this championships has run inside 13:13, you know, so they're running 10 seconds slower than what the qualification to get there is. So I think they all look good. And that's what surprised me to see people having a bit of a rough time, kind of, dropping off a little bit.
Would you see Beamish?
Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And like considering like the indoor season he had. Obviously know a lot can change. But yeah, it's kind of crazy to see how much he was dropping off. Let's chat about the Brits a bit. Mark Scott threw as a fastest leader, no Bouchard or Sam Atkin, no, but did we expect them to qualify? Probably, without sounding too harsh, probably not.
Probably not Bouchard. I mean, Atkin's run 13:03. That's your German guy, that Mohamed as well. Who'd run? He was the one who pushed Jakob to 13:02 or something, or 13:03 at that sound meet. And he had an absolute stinker. So, but you know, there's got to be a point, you know, when you run 13:03, you got to think, God, man, that I can make the final, you know.
But look at Grijalva. Like, I think they were a bit disrespectful to him in commentary in terms of saying, like, oh, he's just like trying to, I don't know who it was. He said he's just trying to get his country's best at the front of the on the screen. And I'm thinking to myself, look, this guy is, I know it's on a collegiate level, but this guy is a top athlete. He is. And he made his heat like just quick enough, like by doing a few laps on his own, which would have done nothing to his legs. Got him moving and forced the pace quicker. And look, he qualified easily.
I'm actually looking. Yeah, I mean, he was cheering the crowd on when Jakob. I'm looking at this start list and I'm thinking it is incredibly good.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. I'm thinking there's probably two spots in this race that are kind of wild card spots. If you like people who are on the fringes who can qualify. I think Mark Scott, the level he is, has nicked one. And Sam Parsons.
Yeah.
Looking like you've got Edris, Ingebrigtsen, Berega, Kajelcha, Kropp. Grant Fisher.
Did Robinson make it in the end?
Yes, sure. Huh? Robinson? Nah, he didn't make it. Yeah. He did look good though. Yeah. Wow. He's a collegiate. He did look pretty good.
Yeah.
You got Camelli. Like, you look at the PBs, there's 10 men in the 12, 50s and below, which is crazy. So, yeah. This 5K is going to be hot. I want to see it sub 13. I think that's the best way the Kenyans can run it. I think even the Ethiopians will struggle if it is. Cheptegei, a heavy favourite. I think he can cope with whatever anyone throws at him. And I'm excited to see what Jakob can do. Simple as winner. Would you say Cheptegei? I'll bank on Cheptegei to do a double. He just looks supreme in a 10.
Jakob, come back. There you go.
This is what I'm saying. If it's sub 13 minutes, I'm not sure how Jakob, like, I don't know if he's, I don't know. He always surprises me. He has run 12:48, so he probably could handle some 13 minutes, but I don't know. It's a championship 5K.
Yeah. I mean, if it's indoors, I mean, Mark Scott, but.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Scott just said he felt a bit rough. Like, you know, heats are always weird. I think heats in a 5K are even weirder because it's kind of a long way for a heat, you know? And never in their life have they, you know, you always just run a one-off 5K, right? You never really, the only time you do have a heat is in champion, you know, is in a world champion.
Yeah. But do you think we, I guess, need to, if you are those athletes who are like not the main contenders and even some of the main contenders that often miss out in these 5Ks, pay their heats a bit more respect though? Do you think that's an issue? In that they're looking ahead to the finals too soon?
Maybe. I think the Heat are a lot harder than we make out. I think they're a lot harder than they look on paper as well. I just said it myself. I said 13-23. Like, that's pretty chill for most of these guys. But I don't think it is. Do you know what I mean? They're still a pretty hard run.
Yeah, because if you probably you lose like 800 at the start, so then you're actually making up time the whole way anyway. So
yeah. So yeah, that's the men's five. We've done a women's five. Let's talk about the let's move on to Steeples then before we talk about them tens.
Yeah, I mean, we've pretty much chatted about the tens, but yeah, we will.
We have pretty much chatted about the tens, to be fair.
Did you want to finish off the tens?
We'll do that then. God, thank
you. Yeah, we pretty much chatted about them, guys. So hopefully we're not repeating ourselves too much. But if you haven't seen them, go back and watch both of those because they were phenomenal.
The race was closer than the women's 100.
Yeah.
It was that close. It was ridiculous. Unreal.
Yeah, so if you didn't see that stat, it was like between the medalists. It was closer in the women's 10K than the women's 100.
I just don't know why. Like, the only thing which disappointed me about the 10K is why on earth were they held at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah.
These things should close out the meet. They should be at 8-9 o'clock at night. I just didn't get it. I just did not get it one bit. Really weird, but they were phenomenal races. In the women's race, this is what I'm saying about the women, just seem to just run harder from the off. Electric. 30.09 was the winning time by Gide Obiri. She hasn't done any track races hardly, 13.10. Third place, Hassan was fourth. Schweitzer was ninth in 30.18, which was a PB. McColgan 30.34, which is still a phenomenal run, to be fair. Jess Judd 30.35. And she was 11th in the world. It was ridiculous. And I think the 5K is going to follow suit. And especially if you do anything, watch the last K or so.
Yeah. It was just the last hundreds for me. And I always think in both the men's and the women's, I always think we kind of, obviously the last 400 is important. We always talk about have a good last lap. If you look at the best of the best, it's that their last 100 is ridiculous. Like the way Chep's guys came down the home straight, the way Guido came down the home straight. And in the same with the, the short races as well, like even the 15s, it's like we always look at last 400 meter splits in the longer races. But I think they had every 100 meter split for the 10Ks on the IAAF website. And yeah, they're closing fast.
Yeah, it's bonkers. They actually do. I'm scrolling it now. It's an endless list to scroll if you want every 100 split. I think that's a phenomenal addition, though. I think, obviously, in the 10K, probably a bit much. But
you prefer that or having the speed on the screen when you're watching it, mate? Which is better?
Yeah, don't get me started on the graphics, man. Like, who cares? 21K, 22K, what?
Well, they can't even put the names on it sometimes. It's just the practice flag.
That means nothing to anyone. Do you know what else is bugging me? When a race finishes, they have the winner with no time next to their name, and then they have everyone else with plus
0.5. Yeah.
I'm just, what? I've got to sit there and I've got to do the math. Just throw up the results. I don't know what plus, 6 or 3 or whatever is going to be on to a winning time. Like, oh, that's bonkers. But yeah, that's speed club.
I've been in school, mate.
Yeah, that speed clock is just ridiculous. Tell me what they're predict. I think I've seen it before where they've actually had the predicted time, which is really useful. Tell me, because even if it's...
In the 5K heats, you said they had that qualifying line for the fastest losers.
That's actually been a useful graphic, but there's been a lot of stupidly useless graphics, I've got to admit, man. I've seen some bizarre ones for a high jump. Like, the high jump they do in perfect slow-mo, they clear the bar. And then there was a graphic telling you how far they've cleared the bar, like in a graph. And I'm just like, you've just shown me on slow-mo. Why do I need? I don't need a graphic. The decathlon. Oh my God, the heptathlon graphics. Whew. These like cylinders. There's been some stupid graphics. Anyway, that's just me moaning. Back to the race. It was pretty just gung-ho. I mean, Ailish, to be fair, took it out, made it pretty hard.
Yeah, like we said, she should almost in the...
Well, she should, but sometimes you've got to maybe just wait a little bit and just think, are these girls going to do it, But I guess she had to do it early to get the race wheel moving. But, you know, she's still a very good
athlete. And I mean, she got some help from, apologies, I can't remember the name of the Japanese athlete, who put in a lot of work.
Hironaka.
Yeah, at the start as well. So it wasn't like it was all her. I just think when they came past her, she just got bumped back like too far.
Yeah.
And I think there's something there. Either you've got to get better at, and it's easy for us to say, like, sat in the armchair here, but either you've got to get better at changing pace like that, or you've just got to have such mental kind of fortitude, in a bit like how Jakob does, in that he will just gradually close gaps.
Yeah.
Because they don't pick up to like a lap pace that is too quick for her, but they'll put in 100 that's too quick for her to latch onto.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
I think and it's one or the other. You've got to get better at fartlek, or you've got to mentally just be able to reel that in.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's a good observation there, man.
But yeah, easy to say.
There were a lot of PBs in that race. There really was. So men's then, quickly wrap the old men's 10K up. Again, Cheptegei cruised to victory.
Yeah, I said already, just his last 100 was just phenomenal because they were all going up the clappers down a back straight. Guy stays in position and then he just kicked away, looked dominant.
Yeah, he's just always leaving something there. Do you know what I mean?
You have to. And I think that's what Farah said that after he got beat by Jayla back in 2011. She went too hard at the bell. And there's always... Everyone's always got that little kind of sniff as soon as the home straight pops around. But could we see him going five? Because like Cheptegei is building quite the resume.
I think
he goes and doubles back. And obviously, it's important that he lost out on the 10 last year. So.
Yeah, how about the only other thing to mention in that 10 was Grant Fisher's kick. I thought the guy was going to come through. Well, for one, I thought the guy was kind of dead and buried on the back straight. And then he just has an incredible top bend. I thought he's going to come through for a medal.
Mm.
Agonizingly close. He's 0.2 off a medal. Bless him. But he is the one flying the flag for the USA at the moment in these distance events. The one flying the flag for the Bowmans at the moment in these distance events. I think his time is, over the next few years. Like I said, when we're starting to see these names, who's going to dominate for the next 2, 3, 4 years going into Paris and beyond, you're definitely thinking, yeah, someone like Grant Fisher is.
But he is fourth on the world list this year.
Yeah, his time's going to come, and I think he will get.
Like, as in his time going into the champs, I think, was fourth going in. So, and I know not always everyone has raced and things like that.
I think 26:33.
Over the 10K, but having, I almost think we need to see more. Like, if you're a European or American, I feel like sometimes you look at the world rankings and don't think you should be up there still. They almost need to start expecting that if you are up there on the world rankings, you need to be performing that in the champs as well.
Mm.
So,
say that though, but the one thing these people have going for them, like the Grant Fishers of this world, I mean, the only person who's had a race set up like Grant Fisher is Cheptegei when he broke the world record.
Yeah.
No one else gets a race set up like that ever. And I quite like that. You know, I think I like the fact that you come to a world champs and, you know, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that these, you know, the guys who are beating Grant Fisher, the Kiplimos of this world, they could go and run, you know, 26.
Yeah.
I think Kiplimo actually has already done that. But, you know, Stanley Brewer and loads of other guys, like, yeah, if they were in a perfectly paced race, they could run electric times, but they don't. And that's why we have the world champs. And that's what world champs exciting, to be fair to you. Let's just pan over to steeples. Goodness me, they feel like, I mean, this champs is kind of flying by. At the same time, it feels like, you know, day four was an absolute eternity ago.
Yeah.
I guess just quickly start with Amy Pratt, because Jesus, you know, she actually, hold my hands up and say, blew me away, surprised me with her performance. Obviously,
well, I think we almost predicted Lizzie Bird.
Well, British champs, right? And British champs, Lizzie Bird kind of smashed her. And like, I know Amy Pratt just kind of ran around and led it. And I guess she was already going to qualify in second place anyway. So maybe she just didn't really care too much. But she seemed, you know, super confident coming into this and said, like, yeah, she kind of expected a British record. I was like, fair play. You know, and 9:18 and then 9:15 in the final, seventh in the final. She beat Emma Coburn. Yeah.
And that's it. And it's pretty much what Lizzie Bird did last year in the Olympics. And if these two can, like, keep pushing each other on, because I think they have the past few years, it's already been happening that they've pushed, like, women's steeple in the UK on to, like, to another level. But if they can continue to do this over the next, like, 3-4 years, like, be class to see. And then you've got, like, other girls coming in, like Elise Sauna, who was third at British Champs, and people that running in the NCAA, hopefully get more women's steeplers, because obviously on the men's side, we had no Brits representing the world champs, like, this time. Like, we had two in the women and another one in the final, like, same as we did last year. So it's positive.
Yeah, they're crushing it at the moment. Yeah, that was actually a phenomenal run. Like, 9:15 and seventh is a phenomenal run.
Mm.
What was, you know, three of them sub nine as well. In the final, which was bonkers. So, yeah, well done to Amy Pratt. She's got, and like you said, you know, when you're looking at Paris, you know, she's probably only got it looks like to medal these days, you've got to be a sub 9 minute runner, but it's kind of sort of top five. You're looking at the sub 9:10. That's doable in the next few years.
Well, that's it. Like, and as soon as it's in reach, I almost feel like it's easier. I feel like the hardest, from, like, the outside looking in, the hardest part about being a pro is when you're...
Get onto that level, yeah. It's to get onto... I guess it's to do what Amy Pratt's done now. Get onto
you're on the cusp of finals, because, like, it's hard to find the races. Like, you talk about, like, Grant Fisher being lucky. It's hard to find the real races to get like that. You're not quite the big name, but you're also pretty much there.
Well, this is what, like, someone like Pratt's done super well this year. She hasn't... She's obviously known she's been in good shape, but she hasn't worried. She's just done, you know, run-of-the-mill races and just been like, okay, 9:25, do you know what I mean? I think, look, that Oregon track, that stadium, that atmosphere, the occasion...
Well, like, yeah, your first major final, I believe it is. As well.
You come into that in good shape. You're going to run what you're going to smash your PB. Do you know what I mean? Because
there's almost no expectation apart from, like, internally as well. No one's being like, oh, she has to come top eight or.
Yeah, like, there's no, she's never going to replicate that race in early season races, you know? Yeah. So she's never going to be able to produce her best before, like, as good as that performance. So, and I think that's what makes, you know, a smart athlete. And like a
champion, top athlete peaking when it matters, and it was the same with
last
year.
People and like they that. Use them early races to just race and get a time under their belt, and
yeah. But then that's a luxury of, because probably the weakest British athletic standard this year probably was the women's steeple.
Yeah, it probably does
for the distance anyway.
I feel like if you, yeah. Like,
and so it's helpful to have a slow standard, because it means our athletes can concentrate on, like, further down the line. Whereas when you've got, and also, like you said, with British champs, it was almost she was going to make the team. And two less pressure situations potentially in the season leading up to it. Like, obviously, like, British champs, like, she could have fallen over, whatever, but
makes a difference if you, yeah.
Yeah, you pretty much go into that, you're like, okay, I know I made a team, and even give her the third spot if something did happen and she had to withdraw. And then, yeah, she didn't have to really, I mean, she had a standard from last year already anyway, so she didn't have to go and get it early season, even though she did.
Right.
And it does take a lot of, pressure off.
Okay, men's steeple, this race, you know, before Whiteman, before, I don't know, the 200 final, before the Sydney McLaughlin, this race for me was the race of the champs.
Well, you prefer in sprints now anyway.
that 200 final was pretty good. No, I was the same. But, like, yeah, before those races came along, it kind of blew my mind yet again. This steeplechase was insane. I thought it was so, so good. Like, I was just watching it. It was so tense.
What about the photographer then?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you even had that at the start of the race. Like, the cameraman, yeah, that poor man, he's definitely getting sacked. Yeah, he's probably on the first flight home. But, like, you know, you had that at the start of it. To be honest, the cameraman was in the wrong position, but he did well not to, like, move.
Yeah, and most people like, jump or, like, yeah.
And would have caused
an eye for that.
Hell. So he actually did well to just stay still, and they kind of just parted around him. Actually turned out not an issue at all.
No.
really, in the
grand scheme. That can't happen.
That can't happen. Look, yeah, I'm not sticking up for the poor bloke, but he actually did well to keep his nerve.
Yeah, for sure.
He was in a world of his own. But look, this race, there was so much trust in it, so much tension for like 6.5 laps. It was ridiculous. And it was interesting to me. Something which is super interesting is these guys, right? They closed in a 2:32 last K. When El Bakkali ran 7:58 this year with Girma, they closed in like a 2:33. They didn't close that much quicker. There is like, and I do think, you know, in the steeple, because of the fact you've got the barriers in any race, right? 10K, 5K, 1500, there's a ceiling on how quick you can do the last lap.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
also, even, these guys, they're not, obviously, they're phenomenally quick, but they're not sprinters.
They're not sprinters.
Like,
yeah.
And I feel like it's the ones who are closer to their 400 potential than the ones who are necessarily like the best at 400 as well.
Yeah. Like, and I was like, what always surprises me is the fact that distance runners can produce, like El Bakkali can produce a 57, 58 last lap in an 8-minute race.
Mm.
And he can produce, like, he can only do that, or the field, they all can. They can only produce that in an 8:38. Well, this race was more like 8:45. Like, so it's kind of like there is a ceiling to how quick they can run last lap. It's the same in a 5K. If they jog rounds, chances are they'll close in 52. If they run round hard, they're so well trained that for some reason they can still close in 52. Do you know what I mean? So it's and the steeple was the same. And what was interesting is the way people's jumps were all over the place. I actually thought someone like Jager, who's usually an incredible jumper, his jumps looked pretty poor when it was slow. And I don't think it was cut, like, even though
I think it's just the rhythm is so, and you got to imagine it as a 4 hurdles. They can't run tactically because of their strides. And I know it's not exactly the same. They're not counting between barriers and things like that, but that sort of stride pattern, that rhythm they get used to racing out, it's so important.
The thing is, these guys will train, you know, you look at someone like Jager, man, this guy's training at 8:10, 8:15, 8-minute pace, week in, week out. He's not training. He's not running around at 72s. You know, that's the tempo for him. He's probably never jumping a barrier that slow in his life. So I thought there was a lot of interesting techniques, a lot of pushing and shoving. There really was. And I think, it just made for such a good race. And then when they finally got going, the lead must have changed, you know, multiple times over that last lap. The poor Ethiopian who fell over, was it Amare? He fell over. The Kenyan fell over. There was a cameraman. Just everything you want in a steeplechase. It really was. And I mean, El Bakkali, look, he ran that perfectly. Like I said, the lead was changing multiple times over the last couple laps. Kipruto, I think the guy just loves to run. Like the way he just, he's so sharp. He's almost too sharp for me in the fact that he can change pace too quickly. And he can just go to front. He can attack a barrier. He's just electric. And I think that actually cost him later in the race when it actually came to the kick, because he was fighting the whole time for the last two laps. He was just fighting to get to the front. When he was behind, he was then pulling round, you know, and he was swerving in and out every time. El Bakkali almost sat in the pack, soaked up all of these moves that were going on at the front.
Well, he's becoming a machine, El Bakkali.
He destroyed them in that water jump. Yeah. It was ridiculous. And I think when you are being critical, and like, I love the Kenyans can just race and they can almost cope with anything. But if you say there's a point they lost that race, like, it was the water jump, man. El Bakkali just flew in there, foot on, flew out. And he took Girma and Kipruto at that point.
And that's what we want to see, though. We don't want to watch the steeple and it for it to be a 3K race. Do you know what I mean? Like, we want to see the result come as a result of being technical over the barriers and things like that, as well as like your running ability, because otherwise you may as well just run a 3K.
Yeah, good point.
I don't mind when you go hurdling technically incorrectly, as long as it's efficient, because I think that's good steeple hurdling anyway. I don't get that when people are like, oh, just sort your technique out, because when you look at a lot of them, they actually keep their rhythm anyway. But I do prefer it when a good steepler, a good hurdler comes out on top, because otherwise you should just run a 3K. And I think it gets too much of a bad reputation, the steeplechase, like outside of athletics, or even sometimes in athletic circles, when people think, oh, it's just a 3K, they've sort of mixed up a bit and they're not good enough at 5K or whatever. But there's a reason why all these guys who are like on the cusp in 15s and 5s don't just go to the steeple, because they can't.
Oh, absolutely, mate. So I think, you know, just a word on Jago as well. Pretty good performance from him. I think even whatever way the race was run, I'm not sure he could have broke into that real like top four, top five kind of movement. So I think it was quick. I think Conceslas had a big time in him as well. But yeah, I was surprised with how much Albacali actually ran away with it. You know, he won by second in the end. He put two and a half seconds on Kipruto in 150 meters.
But yeah, you watch him throughout a season though, like in when they raced in Morocco and stuff. Like,
yeah, actually, I don't know why I said I'm surprised. I'm not that surprised. I think
but he is becoming just like dominant.
Yeah, I just want to see Kipruto get back up there, my boy. It was good to see him get third though, and he ran a great race. So that was that. Hilary Ball, let's talk about him. Eighth place, he was on the podcast. Good showing from him as well. And yeah, he's someone who, like you say, was in the pack, soaking up all the pushing and the shoving and stuff. So yeah, he ran a good race. Another eighth place finish for him, and he's just consistently amongst the world's best. Do feel like there's a big level now. Albacali and Girma are almost out on their own. It's, you know, and I think it's going to be that way for the next few years. We've got another Worlds next year, and then obviously Olympics in Paris. I think those two are going to be, yeah, like I said, out there in their own.
Yeah, hopefully we see some youngsters coming through and stuff. And that is what is exciting. Like, just as we kind of rounding up, I mean, we'll touch on the marathons as well. But just looking at kind of results from last year and this year, it is like Matt, you said, it's after the Olympics, there is more of a changing of the guard, like probably turns over more than normal. But it is nice to see our new names on the podiums and things like that. Because obviously, like, we like the odd person who just dominates, but it's good when it's unpredictable.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, just touching on the marathons before we wrap up. They obviously held back earlier in the week. Like, the course looked pretty good. They ran super fast in the women's race.
My God, did they?
Taking off like the first 2K split was ridiculous. I don't want to misquote it, but and I think we saw like one of the quickest times. Was it the championship record in the men's as well?
It was championship record in the men's.
Yeah, so
they said the course is quick. Didn't look all that quick. Like, there was a few little hills in it, a few little slopes.
Yeah, I think the thing with the city marathons though is that you don't see the slopes and turns. You don't see it unless you run it. I think on TV they are a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the men's race, yeah, was just, I mean, 2:5:36. Tola destroyed it. Jeremy,
the movie made as well was class. So, like, if you've got a patience for those, I'd go back and watch them. They were good to watch live because they were at a nice time of the day. At 2 p.m., I think they kicked off.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people caught it, but, you know, so we got to talk about, I mean, someone who sticks out for me, I mean, Bashir Abdi, 2:06:48, you know, cementing himself as a really good championship marathon runner. Really good. I mean, he's got quick PB under his belt anyway, but Cam Levins, mate, beat Cam Wara, was fourth Canadian. This guy's been around a while, 2:07:09 national record, Canadian record. So I thought that was an impressive run, man. And one, I don't know, sometimes you just like to see that guy's had his ups and downs in this sport. It's kind of good to see it, you know, pay off. Didn't quite get on the podium, but a very good run.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, I think a couple minutes off his PB. I think he was a 2:09 guy before. And this is someone who back in 2013, 2014, there was a lot of stories about him, like, experimenting with super high mileage. And I think he did the same for this, maybe not as high as he was doing back then, but the guy 36 mile days he was doing back then in like Utah in the snow. So
bit of a crazy.
I mentioned earlier about people who've been well documented and being interested in their story. And I think that's why I was so attracted to that race, was seeing the likes of him get right up there, knowing a lot about his story and being able to do that because I've had access to that through, like, watching his flow check documentaries and things like that.
Yeah, that's what
we're talking about. You are looking to get, like, more into the sport, I just go and watch, like, all sorts of things, like Sweat Elite, Flow Track.
Go and listen to our podcast
episode. Yeah, and the Sunday podcast. But that's a given, mate. They're listening now if they hear me say that. So,
and then, yeah, so, you know, in the women's marathon, again was a, like you say, I mean, what was impressive is the Americans. I mean, they had fifth, seventh and eighth. I thought they put up a real good showing. And this is something, you know, we kind of, I want to see these CR Brits do at some point, you know, get amongst it a bit. You know, I thought Pazecki though.
That's what I was going to say. Like Jess Piasecki, like obviously fell off a bit, but she still like ran really well. But she actually went with the group. And then she's like sitting with the likes of Sarah Hall for ages and ages in that race. And I think you do have to, in a way, just take a leap of faith sometimes in these championship marathons. And I think unless you're, again, it goes back to like what I was saying about Ailish before. I think Sarah Hall like said in her interview that she was like on like timing the splits so that she just basically knew what she trained to run. And so for her, maybe she was sitting off a bit more than you'd expect. But I think for some people, unless you're really confident, you can just keep clicking them off. You have sometimes got to just go with it and look at Cam Levins comes away with a 2-minute marathon PB.
Yeah.
Just by hanging on in there.
Yeah. And I think like, you are going to get, the marathon's a funny event, right? Obviously, you just, it is probably the only event that you really want to really look at your splits and key off of them.
Yeah.
It's hard to, you know.
But then I saw like people like Galen Rupp like weren't want to watch.
Yeah, if you're not fit. Yeah, but, you know, I do think Pazecki, she would have got a shed load of confidence being up there running with those girls. She's thinking, yeah, I'm having a great race, you know, and that counts for something.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to give you something that last, you know, last 5K when it's really starting to bite. The fact that you're competing, you're in that top 10, that's going to lift you. You know, that's going to make
I think that's what we always say with cross country as well. Like you've got to start going with the packs. And until you start doing that, the next time you race, you're like, you do a bit better or you might not. But until you start doing that, you're never going to win cross races or come like top five in cross races by sitting back. Roads, you can do it a little bit more because I guess like the turnover and stuff. But still, like to win the top medals, you've got to go with it. And then it depends really if you want to, I don't know, you could probably like come through, pace it better and finish 11th rather than like 15th.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. I mean, and I think that's what, it depends how you think of those sorts of things.
Yeah. And I think you get more out of it if you are competitive from the off, man. So I agree.
Because like you might die and come 15th, but you could have come 8th like if you'd hung on a bit or on a really good day, or you could pace it well and,
yeah, so like Ethiopians, yeah, men's and women's winners, all their marathon groups, really paying dividends. They've got some incredible marathon groups, these Ethiopians. It seems like the event they really seem to be taking seriously at the moment, you know. They've got some incredible 5 and 10K groups, but yeah, they do seem to be really sort of crushing the marathon at the moment over there. So fair play. But like we said, mate, that pretty much wraps it all up. We'll probably squeeze out another episode wrapping up the 5Ks and the 800s. So we've got 2 5Ks left, men's and women's, 2 800s, men's and women's. It's phenomenal. We've got women's 5K, men's 8 tonight. Tomorrow, we've got men's 5, women's 8. And
and relays, mate, seeing as you're a sprints boy. So.
And oh God, yeah, can't wait. although, I mean, the American relay team is going to be bonkers. I don't know what, I guess maybe
it won't. Well, I think they'll just mess it up again.
What, Britain to win?
No, I don't think so. But
I think so far it's been an absolutely incredible champs, man. Like, and every day I've almost come home and just been like, wow, like what have I just watched? You know, so
I hope basically hope you guys have enjoyed the pod, listening to us ramble on, and enjoy the rest of the races, and we'll catch you next week.